Peace to the people. Welcome back. You're on the move with Mike Africa Jr. And this is my podcast where we illuminate the struggles of the people, inform the uninformed, and give you nothing but the truth. On the Move is here to disrupt the system and spark a global revolutionary change. A change is what we need. Like Sam Cooke said, a change is going to come. But like Gandhi said, you have to be the change you want to see in the world. And even though Gandhi wasn't perfect, he said something that was true. And when the power of truth is present, you better respect it. So check this out. I've got a returning guest. I've been looking forward to reconnecting with this person. She's a real one for real, son. She is an activist, a revolutionary, co-founder of the Dr. Huey P. Newton Foundation, former Black Panther Party member, and the widow of Dr. Huey P. Newton. Right now, I need you to stop what you're doing. Stop your cars right now. Pull over to the side and give it up for Frederica Newton. Frederica, how are you?
Oh, Mike, it's so good to be back here with you. It's so good to see you again. All dry. We were pretty wet last time we were together.
Listen, we're going to get into that because that was something. But before we get into that, you've been on the show before, so you know that we do this thing called Gimme Two, right? Activists are multifaceted, and oftentimes people don't think of us as doing anything other than rallying and protesting. But Gimme Two is a way to spotlight the other good things that we got going on in our lives. So I want us to share two good things that bring us joy. And I will go first to give you a chance to warm up to it. So for me, my family, and you know, I was thinking about this just over these past couple of weeks. My family is... It's not enough beautiful words to say about my family, my Robin, my baby, my kids, my parents. Family is very important, and I'm very lucky to have a great. When my mom came home from prison, I remember how my kids stepped up, and my oldest son, he like took over the business, and my other sons help him out when they can. And my daughter, she was like willing to give up her room so that mom could have a room to herself. And Robin, of course, Robin is like superwoman around here. So I just got to say my family is very important to me. And then my community. Listen, I can't ask for a better community of friends and family members, like extended family. And I had this epiphany when I was at One Art Community Center when Russell Schultz came home from prison after nearly 50 years. And my community helped me realize that my name is Mike Africa and I've never been to Africa. So we start working on that. So those are the two good things that are bringing me joy right now. How about you?
I could probably ditto that. But even before I can talk about how important, how vital family is for me is to have peace of mind so that I'm in a place where I can really connect with family and connect with all that God's given me. So first, I'd have to say that just my peace of mind, and definitely my family and my community and the ability to be in a place where I can be absolutely honest and not afraid of judgment. And that's what I get from my family. That's what I get from the community around me that I actually consider a sacred place. It's a sacred place that I can go to with my family and with the people that I love and trust, where I know that I'm totally okay with being who I am, that I'm free from all judgment, not free from critique, because I think that that's certainly important and it's vital, but that I have the freedom to be who I am and to be loved for who I am or in spite of who I am. So I'd have to echo family and friends and extended family and community.
I hear that. Especially the part about in spite of who I am, because Lord, God knows I drive Robin a little crazy sometimes. You know, I really, really wanted you to come back to the show so that we could talk about what happened in Oakland, California on October the 24th. A bust of the Black Panther Party's co-founder, Huey P. Newton, was unveiled in commemoration of the 55th anniversary of the organization's founding. That is incredible. And I just wanted to like just talk about that with you. And what was the feeling as you unveiled that bust of your husband?
Oh, gosh, I get chills thinking about it. You know, I'm just now starting to land back into my own life. That whole experience was so life-altering for me. Everything that led up to it didn't even prepare me for the overwhelm that I felt on that day. First of all, it was, as you know, that like the skies opened up and it was sunny the day before and sunny the day after. And everything cut loose on that day. It was the biggest storm.
Listen, when was the last time you got that much rain in Oakland, California?
I can't even remember anything like that happening. I honestly can't. In one day?
When I woke up that morning, I think it might have been around 6 or 7 a.m. And it had started to drizzle. Around 8 o'clock, it was raining. And when I got on that airplane to come home that night at 11 o'clock p.m., it was still raining. And there were no breaks in between. And the rain was one part of the Mother Nature's sky opening up, because the wind was another part. The canopies that we were under, people had to hold on to so they wouldn't blow away. What did you make of that?
Oh, no, it was epic. I thought this state has been on fire. If we don't get some rain, then this entire state was looking like it was going to burn to ground. And I think I was thinking, would Huey have wanted all the focus on him, or would he have wanted the focus on the greater good, you know, on that day? I was thinking it was his way of saying that basically I am we. You know, I'm greater than this moment, that this isn't about me. It's about a greater legacy here. And it's really about the people and what does our focus need to be on today, in addition to this event that was in front of us. It also, there's one brother, he was in the party. He said, yeah, we all soldiered up. And we stayed out there that day. Yeah. It kind of separated the wheat from the chaff, you know, the true dedicated people that were really dedicated to that moment stayed and kind of weathered that storm. It bore witness to what we as a people have had to go through, come through on the other end. It was just a little minute demonstration of faith and endurance and test and trust and commitment. There were a lot of people out there and a lot of people at the end. There was dancing in that. It gives me chills to even think about it. Brothers and sisters were dancing in that storm. There was, this community really needed that celebration, because it's been tough here. When Dana looked over and she said, are you ready? And I said, yeah. And it was my first time seeing him on that boulder, because I didn't go out there the day that he was mounted on Friday. I wanted to see it for the first time when the community saw it. And I just felt like I was being baptized that day. I was in such a place spiritually that I felt like if this is my last breath, this was all right. It felt like a wedding day. I don't know. It was otherworldly to me and to many people who were out there. It just felt like such a spiritual moment.
It really was beautiful. I mean, when I saw all those Panthers and all those people, it looked like it reminded me of penguins, right? You know how the penguins like huddle together to protect each other from the wind, and then they take shifts moving around and getting repositioned, but everybody is still standing there together as a unit to be a part of this special moment that you speak of. And the weather, to me, the weather made perfect sense. For one reason, what you said about the state being on fire, Huey brought relief for people who needed it. It wasn't an easy thing to go through or experience, but it was a necessary thing that made things better for everybody. That's how I carried it. Like this makes sense. And then when I saw Fred Hampton Jr. walk up, Chairman Fred, he came up with his posse. They came in and I said, yo, this is
strong.
Yeah, like everybody looking good, looking strong, feeling inspired. I know there were a lot of emotions, right? And you speak of emotions in otherworldly sense, right? Was part of the emotion vindication?
I don't know that I felt vindicated in that moment. It's hard to describe how I felt. It was disbelief that we had done this, that this had actually happened.
How long had you been trying to do it, get it through?
Well, when we first started talking about a public art piece, it was about 6 years ago, and it wasn't a it wasn't in commemoration of Huey, but for this specific piece, it was a year and a half, close to 2 years, which doesn't seem like a long time. The process was arduous, you know, going through the city. We dotted every I and crossed every T. We didn't have that wasn't a guerrilla move there where we just, oh, we're going to take this and put Huey up here. You know, right, we went through the whole, we went through this entire city process to go to have that place there. And there was a time when the boulder was defaced by some graffiti artists. And, you know, there were some bumps along the way, but pretty much it was a green light, green light, green light, which to me was even unbelievable. And to raise the amount of money that we needed to raise, the fact that Dana King was right there, 12 minutes away to do this bust and invited the community in during the process. It's like the universe just worked its magic to make this thing happen. And the reception from the community is what blew me away. It was the foundation's gift to the community, and the reception was overwhelming. I vindicated. You know, I'm still trying to unpack all that happened on that day. It was relief. It was gratitude. So, yeah, I would say vindication, that finally Huey is recognized as its native son, and that this Black Panther Party is recognized finally in its community where it was born, and that the city took part in making this happen even was pretty unbelievable. So we had Congresswoman there who changed her schedule to come in and speak.
And the way she spoke.
Oh.
When I heard her speak, I said, who is that? And they said, that's the Congresswoman. So I said, really? Is that how it is over here? I didn't expect the Congresswoman to be saying that kind of information. But yeah, that was amazing. The whole day was amazing. And I guess for me, the reason I asked the question about vindication is, you know, I've been in this revolutionary space for a long time. And even though I'm much younger than the other Panthers, like Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. and Russell Schultz III and these other people, I'm one of the babies of the movement in comparison to them, but I've still been in it for a long time. And whenever I see a street named after someone that was more than safe, right? Like Huey wasn't safe. The type of language he used wasn't safe. The type of information that he put out to the people wasn't safe. There are a lot of activists that are safe, but Huey was revolutionary and totally against the grain of the system and the establishment itself. So whenever I see people like him or like Mumia Abu-Jamal, who gets a street named after him in Paris, it's like vindication. And so I was wondering if that was, you know, kind of some of what you were feeling.
I guess you're right. I think it was disbelief, really, that this had actually happened.
Yeah, there's a lot of emotions in there. It's not just one, right? It's like, you mentioned like a wedding day, right? When I saw my parents get married after coming home from prison after 40 years, I'm still in disbelief. I asked my dad, hey, Dad, I told him, I said, you can have anything you want. You just spent 40 years in prison. I don't have a lot of money, but whatever you want, I'll make it happen. And he said, Mike, all I want to do is marry your mom. I want to marry her like I should have done 40 years ago. And we hooked it up for them to have this wedding, and 300 of their family and friends came, and it was the best day. And I'm still in disbelief. And there were a lot of emotions around that. There was a level of vindication. There was a level of disbelief. There was a level of sadness. There was a level of sadness because it shouldn't have been 40 years that they're now doing this, right? Mostly it was joy, but there was a lot of emotions in there. So I think I understand what you're saying when you say all those different emotions in there.
You know what, Mike? It was such a personal project for me. I think that's why I was in such belief that it actually happened. I mean, personally, on a personal level, as well as, you know, on a revolutionary platform, I knew the need for it to happen for the community to show that the Black Panther Party had laid its roots here and that Huey, as co-founder and leader of the party, should be recognized. But it was also, for me personally, it was a letting go. it was, I held him pretty close to me all these years. I mean, literally, I had his ashes. And I just couldn't, I just couldn't let him go. And so this was a pretty big step for me personally to kind of give him back to the community. Yes, it's a bust, but it was a really big step to letting him go, putting him back there with the people in the streets where he wanted to be. Yeah. You want to be in the streets? There you go.
There you go.
So
immortalized right where you want to be, right?
That's it.
So
I felt badly that I hadn't done something all these years. So it just happened when it was supposed to happen. It started out thinking I need to put a plaque here at the very spot where he took his last breath, to it becoming a statue in the main street there, where there used to be a freeway that divided West Oakland and the rest of the world. There was, and during the Loma Prieta earthquake, it fell. And that's what that strip is now. The West Oakland community rallied not to have that freeway erected again. And so we have that strip. And that's where he was placed. No better place than Mandela Parkway and Dr. Huey P. Newton Way.
Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? And I was going to ask you how you think he would have felt about this whole thing and the accomplishment of it all. But he's right there with the people.
With the people.
A man of the people.
A man of the people.
You know, another thing, I didn't ask you this before. How long were you married?
We were married 5 years, but I met him and our relationship started when I just turned 19. I met him at my mother's house, and that's how I came to join the party.
What do you think Huey's greatest contribution to the world is? See, I told you it was big. A big question.
I think that his contribution was that out of love, there's great sacrifice. There are people who will die in order to make that happen. Huey was an example of strength and courage that came from a place of love. There was no place for hatred in anything that he did. It was all based in love. Huey had incredible service, I mean, incredible courage, made incredible sacrifices. I don't think that he could have lived in any other way. He would rather have lived a life of service, standing on his feet, than being on his knees, I think. And I don't mean praying on his knees. He was a man of courage and sacrifice, and he showed what was possible.
You know, sometimes people that have a lot going on in their lives, that they're very busy, they're very important people, oftentimes they don't get a chance to get everything done, right? There's always more to do. I'm sure you feel it. There's always something to do. If somebody calls me and says, "Hey man, I can't do that interview today," I'm not sitting around twiddling my thumbs. I'm going right to the next thing that's on my agenda because I always have something to do. Did you get the sense from Huey that he felt satisfied with the amount that he had gotten done?
No. And I think that's what was one of his sorrows, and mine as his wife, to witness that. At 47 years old, he nowhere near completion. And I don't know what that would have looked like for him. I don't know if that would have been continuation of the party. I don't know what it would have been for him personally to have felt that he lived his life's purpose. I don't know. I don't think that at 47 years old he was satisfied where he was when he took his last breath. I think that he got joy in ways that he didn't anticipate. The joy of family, and which was really important to him, and being around children, which was very important to him, and a safe place to be himself, which I don't know that he had in the party. So I think after the party was over, he was afforded the luxury of having a kind of average everyday life. in a way that he wasn't able to have in the party.
And being recognized, especially when people come up to him and say, "Hey, Harry Belafonte."
Yeah, I think he's still shaking his head over that one. I had the opportunity to tell Gina that story, Gina Belafonte, that story about her Huey and her dad.
How did she react to that one?
She laughed. Yeah, she thought that was a good story. Huey's still shaking his head.
Yeah, that's a good one. We had those technical difficulties the last time, so I couldn't really get deeper All into right. it the way I wanted to. But when I played it back and I heard that story, it was really, really funny. And everybody, you know, that listened to the podcast, they responded to me later and they were like, "Hey, listen, that was funny, man." You know, it was cool.
I've gotten a remark from someone in Europe who listened to the podcast.
Yes.
Who sent a donation in.
Nice. What's that?
They said they sent the amount that it would have cost them to fly. They really wanted to be there for the unveiling and sent the amount that the airplane ticket and lodging would have cost as a donation.
Look at that.
Those are the sweetest things.
That's really nice. And they sent it with the note and to let you know. That's what the podcast is here for.
I have it right there. Yep, the note right there.
I'm happy that the podcast is doing things like that to support good things like what you guys are doing. And that makes me feel good because this is not a television show or a radio show where I can communicate with people live. So much of the information and feedback that I get comes later in a comment section or actually much of the information I never hear or never see at all.
Really?
No, because it's a radio show. It's a podcast. So, you know, they're responding to the platform itself, right? But there's so many comments in there. You can't, you spend all week trying to, you know, read through and sift through. It's like Instagram, right? So you just can't.
Yeah.
But that one, that's a really good one. We should definitely like reach out to them and thank them from the podcast, from the On the Move with Mike Africa.
Okay, I'll give you that information.
Yeah, that's and anybody else that feels compelled, look at what people over in Europe are doing and do the same thing because this is a very important piece of work that's happening right here. Tell us about the Huey P. Newton Foundation and what goes on there.
We're busy. We're a busy little team, we are. I've got the most talented, committed, brilliant.
Isn't it nice to have a good team around you? That's really, it feels good to hear, and I know it feels better to say.
It's everything. It really is.
So what's the mission?
The mission is to promulgate the legacy and history of the Black Panther Party. Right now, we've got several projects that we're working on. Of course, just like you said earlier, there's
always something.
There's always something. So we meet weekly and throughout the week. But we're currently working with the National Park Service to establish the first monument in the National Park System, commemorating not just the Black Panther Party, but the Black Power Movement in Oakland. And Barbara Lee, we have just had a meeting earlier this morning with the city, but Barbara Lee and local support that she alluded to when she was there speaking, that we now going to a national platform. We've spoken with members of Congress about this. And so we're moving that project along here locally and nationally. And we're digitizing and indexing the over 13 years of the Black Panther Party newspaper.
Wow.
It was a weekly publication, and all of our history is in these pages, and we wanted to make it.
I'm sorry, I wanted to ask before you continue, you have every publication?
We have access to every publication. Certainly, if anybody has any out there that they want to donate to the foundation, we're definitely open. We have
that is amazing.
Unfortunate theft, but we have access to it so that we can get them digitized and indexed. Because you want them indexed so that you can research, for example, who was the field captain and field marshal in North Carolina in, you know, 1970. So you don't have to thumb through each issue. But all of the information, all of our history is in these pages. We're moving forward, this is what we had a meeting about this morning, on a local and regional level to create monuments in cities where the Black Panther Party had impact and on the communities that they serve, starting with Oakland, right in front of the city, the county courthouse. There's an area there where the Free Huey rallies were. It was Free Huey movement, where thousands used to gather there. When Huey was on trial, Huey went through 52 trials, when he was on trial for his life. And that's right here in the middle of Oakland, right across from Lake Merritt, across from the apartment house that he lived in when he was released, right across from the Oakland Museum, and also across from the Kaiser Convention Center, which used to be called the Oakland Auditorium, where Martin Luther King has spoken, where the Black Panther Party had many, many events where we gave away thousands of bags of groceries. There's going to be a plaza created there, and we want a larger Black Panther Party installation there, and also a Black Panther Party museum. We're organizing the archives as well as building assets around that work now. We have a podcast. I think we're working on our third. I don't know, what do you say, episode? Now, and we're also working on a book of Huey and a documentary project on women of the Black Panther Party. We work really closely with Chairman Fred. We're on weekly meetings with him and his work to save the Hampton House in Chicago. And we're continuing down all avenues to ensure the true and accurate legacy and history of the Black Panther Party, which is so misunderstood. And so we're also supporting other Black Panther Party members in their endeavors to share the accurate history of the party. So we got a lot of work that we're doing, a lot of work to do.
That all sounds incredible. And so important, the history, the accomplishments, not rewriting history, but telling history the way it actually is, and making sure that people understand the impact. All of that information is so important. As Black people in this country, we've lost so much of our heritage. For us to have the opportunity to write our own history, it is such an important thing. And I really appreciate the fact that you're doing it, and the museum in Oakland, and the bust, and everything. I applaud it and I support it. And we're going to get more people like the person in Europe who sent that check, to send more checks, because this work is so important. Send those checks. Listen,
like I said before,
it is unfortunate. The system puts money between us and the things we need. So we need those checks to make these things happen.
And they can donate at Huey.one, Huey.one, or go to our website, HueyPNewton.org. And we're also on Instagram. We on Instagram.
Y'all on Instagram.
We on Instagram at Huey P. Newton Foundation. They're going to kill me.
They're going to kill you? Why?
Because I always get the name wrong on Instagram.
Okay, well, we'll make sure that it goes right. So the people that are listening to the On the Move with Mike Africa Jr. podcast, we'll make sure you get it the right way, exactly how it's supposed to be, so that you don't send the money to the wrong place.
There you go. It's at Huey P. Newton Foundation on Instagram. Forgive me, team.
Is there anything else that you'd like to say to the people before we part?
I just like to say, stay encouraged. Keep doing the good work. Look in your own community. You don't have to even have an organization to get work done. In the party, we didn't wait for the work to be done. We just did it. You see somebody hungry, feed them. And do it all out of love. There was no room for hatred in the Black Panther Party movement then or now. Learn from our victories and learn from our mistakes, and read your history. Anything that we can do to help, just reach out to us.
That's beautiful.
Our deputy director is like 27 years old, brilliant. So
27 years old.
Dr. Xavier Buck, I might add, is a recent graduate from UC Berkeley in the history department. He's brilliant. My whole team is brilliant.
And so you can't always name everybody because you just can't, right? There's always some people that's just going to remain behind the scenes. But one person that I did want to acknowledge before we go is Dana King.
Dana is awesome. That girl there, that's one of the gifts of, one of the many gifts of this project was this friendship that came about as a result of this, creating this bust with Dana. It just wouldn't have been as, I don't know, it's been an amazing gift to have had her on there. We worked closely together, and she was so generous in opening her studio up at any stage of the development. We laugh a lot because she was so excited in the beginning when she said, "Oh my God, you have to come over and see him. He's looking fabulous." Did I tell you this story?
No.
She said, "Oh, Frederica, come over. When can you come?" You know how she is. She's so excitable. And I said, "Okay, I'm gonna come tomorrow." And I walked in there, and it was a neck. It was just his neck. There was no head on it or anything, just his neck. I think I stayed up for about four nights, like, "Oh, Lord, what have I done?
What's going to happen? Where's it?
Is she crazy? I only see a neck." And she was so juiced about it. And she had this other brother over there taking pictures and videos. Look at from this angle. Look at his neck. So I went home. I had to make a few calls. Girl, she's got a neck and she's juiced. So, but there was so little ego involved that she invited the community in every stage. Like, we had to get this brother named Diamond Ken, who we love. He drove in. Everybody's old, right? And he drove in from Vallejo to get his afro, because Diamond Ken had a barbershop at the time. We want to make sure his afro was tight.
Uh-huh.
So we brought Diamond in there, and then different people. And there was a stage when I'm troubled, I don't sleep well. And she brought me in, and his eyes just weren't right. And it was haunting because, you know, his eyes were so intense, his eyes, and he just looked a little hopeless. And I think I was up about four nights on that one. and she was okay. She knew that we were going to get there. I'd never been through a process like this before.
In a way where you couldn't, because you she's done it. I know what you mean by that. Well, look, we are out of time.
No, it's so much fun.
I know. It's so much fun talking to you. And it's easy talking to good people. But unfortunately, we have to wrap this one up. That is a wrap. Many thanks to you, Frederica, for coming on The Move with Mike Africa Jr. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mike, for having me again.
And thank you to everybody out there that is listening, especially people like you in Europe who sent those donations. We really appreciate those. If you like what you heard, tell a friend so that they can get on The Move with us. And make sure you're following the podcast so you never miss an episode drop. Until next week, peace out.